Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I am Jeannie Rice, even though I don't sound like it. I'm your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Monday, January the 5th. 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and we're just delighted for everybody that chooses to join us today. And we had an awesome day yesterday. We had just a delightful time connecting with Dorothy Ann. Some of you know Dorothy Ann Jackson, whose husband Donald, who's a dear friend of ours for many years, passed away earlier this last year. And so Dorothy Ann has started working with some other ministers and forming a new Unity Center in Bradenton. So we got to play in Bradenton yesterday. We had an awesome time. It's a totally new center, so it was a small group. I think we had about 30 people for the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, but just a really dedicated group of folks who really wanted to hear the information. And pardon me, I was just taking a drink and I swallowed it down the wrong pipe. In any event, we just had a great time with her yesterday, and I got to connect and look forward to seeing what develops in Bradenton out of that workshop series yesterday. We just had fun there. And beyond that, our work is the work of forgiveness. And not the kind of forgiveness the Greeks would try to convince us we should do. That is, because it's everybody else's fault that we're in pain or turmoil, we let them off the hook and then everything gets better in our lives. But rather, the kind of forgiveness that was taught 2,000 years ago, actual forgiveness, which is about removing from your mind what never belonged there. Now, what never belonged in your mind? Anything based in hostility or fear. And it's interesting, I keep coming back to this, I'm realizing more and more and more how important, and there's a key thought that Vladimir Lenin put in his writings, and he says, the way to destroy a culture is to change the meaning of its words. And you can't, ideas are transferred by words, and you can't transfer ideas where the words are in error. And wherever the words are in error, whenever there's an error in our language system, that error reflects an error in our thought system. And because we create through the activity of thinking, if there's an error in our thought system, then our creative process will be off base. And so what we're here to do, and some people have had frustration come up when on the show they're in the middle of a sentence, and I stop in mid-sentence and I invite them to re-language what it is that they're expressing. Because when we, let's say, for instance, one of the most prevalent errors in our thought system is the error that somebody outside of us can cause something to happen inside of us. And when we think that somebody or something outside of us can cause something to happen inside of us, we language in error. We say, that made me mad. He really hurt me. she really upset me. And, you know, I do my best to stop the conversation at that point, which some people just want to get out what they're saying, but recognizing the power of words, that our words literally tell our minds how to build the world we see. So when I say, that really hurt me, I'm telling my mind to build me a perceptual world that shows me that something outside of me caused something to happen inside of me. And of course, once I believe that the power to cause that is outside of me, then I've lost my power as a creator over it. And everything that I feel because I have created it. And once I recognize that, then now somebody might say, well, you know, when somebody came up and punched him in the nose, it wasn't something he created. That was that fist in his nose. And I agree, the fist in his nose, canceled the thought, was the cause of his pain. However, what is it in his creative process that has somebody continuously bringing the fist to his nose? Now, there was a news story back a couple of years, oh, this goes back several years, but there's an area in Toronto that they call Cabbage Town. And there was a woman there who had an older woman, and she had this little, you know, beat up, run down house. And I forget how many times it had been broken into, but it made the news. She'd been broken into like 22 or 32 times. There was nothing to steal. She didn't have anything. But she kept getting broken into. What's the part of her? Now, of course, somebody else did the act of breaking in. Somebody else needs to be held accountable for the act of breaking into another's property. But what's the part in that person that they keep pulling that into their experience? And when I language more and more responsibly, then I get to see more and more the error of my words, therefore the error of my thought, and therefore to correct my language. And my, you know, one of the biggest errors that we make in our culture, you know, and we've kind of sort of dropped parent-teacher talk Monday, but being Monday, it's still on my mind. And we say, you know, I love my children. You know, moms, dads, stop loving your children. Stop believing that you could possibly love your children, because you don't. If you language that you love your children, then you're telling your mind that you can do something called love. And what that will lead to, or tend to lead to, is the errant thought system where our culture and our world thinks that approval is love. And so if I love them, if I think it's something that I do to them, then when they stop doing what I approve of, then, you know, and the average person calls it tough love, and, you know, all the covers for, I do violence to them. All the lies we use to justify our violence to a child. And the reason for that is because it's an error in our language to say, I love you. It's an error in our thought system to think that love comes from approval of another. When you stop thinking that love is a verb and you stop loving people and you begin to function as love, it's a noun. Love describes the state of your human life. When you start to function out of your human life, then the whole game changes, because now it's got nothing to do with approval. Your child does or doesn't do what you want them to do. Your spouse does or doesn't do. But you function as love, see them as love, and all of that other stuff is irrelevant. It doesn't mean we don't work on changing the things that are off base. It doesn't mean we can't ask for what we want. It doesn't mean we can't hold somebody accountable. But it does mean that when I function as the active presence of love, stop believing that love is something that I can do, then my whole perceptual system begins to change. I begin to correct. You know, it was a really powerful insight that Lenin had when he said, change the meaning of a culture's words, you can destroy that culture. Culture is something based in ideas. Ideas are transferred from mind to mind by words. If you destroy the meaning of a key word in a culture, And then one generation tries to pass that culture on to the next with that errant meaning in the key word, it's impossible to pass that culture on to the next generation. And so when we get back, I love how Plato said, let me define the words and I'll end the argument. You're human beings. Hold a newborn child and you know exactly what human life is. Strive to be human is the directive. To really, truly function as a human being, as love. And then you'll do behaviors that people will call loving behaviors, but it won't be love that you're doing to another. You will be love, and you will hold that space. And that space just is so powerful at transforming, literally transforming everything. And so that's what we're here to understand. That's what we're here to teach. That's what we're here to learn and to pass on to you. And so, Jeannie, is Dr. Kim with us today?
He is with us. And he's on.
Well, let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing quite well.
Awesome.
I'm tuning into the intro and thinking how it's so aligned with what's been happening this morning in sessions, that various people have been coming in talking about being out of alignment with that sense of their true nature and what it takes to get back in. And one gentleman said that he's been more in alignment recently since applying these tools in his life. And of course, he wanted to say because of, you know, the therapy I was doing with him, and I had to correct him and say it's because he's choosing to apply the tools. And people can come in and talk to me for an hour one day a week and go home and live their life for 167 hours and come back in and check in for an hour and go home and live their life for 167 hours and never change a thing at home. And some people come once or twice and they learn some of these tools and start applying them in their lives, and pretty soon friends, family, coworkers are saying, wow, you handled that situation very differently. You didn't yell or scream or throw anything there. You stayed really calm through that crisis. How is that happening? And it's happening because they're applying the tools. And the focus in the past few sessions has been people either asking, how do I do that? Or coming in with testimonials about how well it's working when they do that. And the theme this morning was that there's two parts of this. There's the part about tuning into my true nature and getting aligned with that energy of source, or that loving energy, or that source that's trying to live through me and breathe through me and see through me. And the other part is to notice every time I try to do that, if something less than that comes up, where is that in my thought that I'm still holding on to that? Where is it in my experience or my energy, the traumatic energies that I'm holding within my body, that I need to go look and dismantle that? And that two-prong approach is extraordinarily effective. So one is practicing feeling that newborn energy of love and creation and tuning my awareness to my true nature. So that becomes a habit. And the other prong is identify when I try to do that first approach, if anything less than love comes up, what is it? What is it in some part of me that's still holding on to that energy? And which of the tools that you teach and make available on the website are available for me to dismantle that? So that's been the theme today.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, it's definitely an amazing journey, and it's fun to be going into our fifth year with this radio show coming up next month. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and building momentum, I think. In the last couple of Abraham talks, they were talking about building the momentum. and building it in a positive direction. And I think based on my experience in the show over the past 4 years, it's definitely building in a positive direction.
Yes. Awesome. Well, we are in sunny Florida. Actually, it's kind of cloudy and a little on the cool side today, but it's not heavy-duty winter and snow and ice and all that stuff, so it's nice to be in this environment. And as I said yesterday, we had an awesome time with Dorothy Ann. And, Jeannie, let's check in. Anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, to both of those. I would like to comment. One of the things that I thought was pretty cool about yesterday at Dorothy Ann's church, it's called Church Share. It's this huge campus, and there are actually 10 different churches that meet at the. There's like 5 that meet at the same time all the time. And so you've got different cultures, you have different belief systems, and they're all using different buildings in this one campus area. And then actually the Unity Church itself is another form of church share in that they have 3 ministers that share the pulpit. So I thought that was just a pretty unusual setting. You don't normally see that. And I thought it was a really good example of true unity.
Yes, and one of the ministers actually is a CSL minister. Cool. Any other thoughts, sweetie?
That's about it.
Okay. Cool. Well,
We just had a hand go up. It's area code 607. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael and Jeannie. It's Richard in Ithaca. How are you today?
We are well, young man. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Sounds like Jeannie's getting over a little froggy throat or something.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been doing a cleanse for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think we all have in some respects. Anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know that I shared the worksheet with a friend of mine a number of weeks ago. And so tonight we're going to actually get together and discuss the worksheet process in public and invite some friends over. So it's really my first time sharing the worksheet in public. So I just wanted to let you guys know I'm doing that tonight and that I'm looking for some support, thoughtful, prayers that things go well for me tonight.
Well, we'll hold the space. That's awesome. And, of course, if questions come up, we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow if you don't have answers for them so we can support you in doing that.
Great. So, thanks, and be in touch.
All right. You have a blessed one. Have an awesome evening tonight. It's an amazing thing to do to share those tools.
Great. Thank you.
All right. 646-200-4169. Call in number. If you're on one of those stations that we can't see you in our control panel, then we invite you to pick up the phone, call us. If you push 1, that raises your hand in the phone queue, and we'll get to chat, and we'll get to support you. And maybe you'll get to support us. Maybe you'll have something new to share with us that will open a whole new area of understanding, and that would be awesome, too. It's nothing like a little help from our friends. So, Jeannie, what's happening? What's exciting?
Nothing. Nobody has a hand up. No questions in the chat room.
Okay. Well, if you're there in the phone queue and conversation about love, if we were, Tim and Jeannie and I were on a platform in front of the room and we had this conversation about stop pretending that we love each other and step into being love instead, would that have aroused any questions in you? And if Tim had walked down, if I had walked down, if Jeannie had walked down
and
off the platform? There's your question. Cool. Awesome. Let's go for it.
Area code 901. You're on the air.
Well, hello, Dr. Tim, Michael, Jeannie, Brenda.
Hey there, young lady. How are you?
I was real, I am doing marvelously. I am detoxing. I am going through a lot of different things, but it's all, you know, good. I was interested in your opening comment about loving, about not, that love is not a verb, it's a noun.
Yes.
And actually this morning while I was doing my swimming, I was processing the thought of not receiving the love that I thought that I wanted. And your words that came out of your mouth were almost identical to what my mind processed through. And so that was
share
an
with us.
Enforcement. Yes. I also realized that the issue is, you know, my previous times we had talked about my relationship of my mom and my dad and the power positions and such like that. And I realized that I'm processing through their relationship via certain relationships in my life. And so one of the insights that I had, or one of the things that came to mind while I was processing, was that these were my mother's feelings and that they were not necessarily my thoughts, but they were the feelings that she must have had for many years, knowing that the man that she was married to did not, quote-unquote, love her, as he told her as he was dying, that he never had. And so that was very interesting, and by the time I got done with my swim, my whole mind had shifted about that. And then when you came on and started talking and said almost the same thing that my mind had processed through. So that was a nice reinforcement for me on that. And then I wanted to, Dr. Tim, I think a week ago or so, we were talking about similar stuff. And, I know since my last time that I talked and I've been doing my... I haven't been doing my 5 worksheets a day. I've probably been doing an average of 2 a day, but I'm working on getting more of them done. However, one of the things that's happened is that from my wrists down to my fingertips, my hands are itching, or they were itching really badly, and I was having eruptions on my skin. So I'm obviously detoxing something that I have no idea what it was, and they're... You know, they go away after a few days, but I thought that was interesting that something was coming up. And then in regard to the paralysis I had when I was young, I was doing a worksheet on the accumulation of stuff, i.e. junk, which I always think I always have a thought in my mind about anything that, I can do this with that, or I can do this with that. And so I had a process, but it's gotten to the point where it's just more than what I really need to be handling at this point in time. So I did a worksheet on releasing junk. And I thought it was interesting that on C, it says my thought that causes the feeling of fear, or let me say junk has an addictive hold on me, triggers my feeling of fear, and then my thought that causes this feeling, it has me by the throat. And that was kind of a wow for me because I had never thought about that. It just, as I was writing it, it just came out and said, has me by the throat. And in regard to the fact that my throat had been paralyzed and such like that, I thought that was kind of an interesting insight or interesting thought that came because it said I want to punish by a hate-love relationship with stuff, and that for myself a paralysis of being able to distribute it appropriately. So anyway, those are my comments that I'm processing through now. So I thought the throat thing was something that was surprising. So now I'm working around, and I guess I need some help a little bit on if I just want to work with, say, how am I going to say this? Hostility, but not necessarily having anything that's really triggering it, or fear, but it's not triggering it. But I've identified where in my body rage or hostility or fear settles in the three different places in my body. So do I do a worksheet which just names the place on my body that I'm feeling the fear and then go from there? Or how do I start that?
Well, if I had an irritation somewhere in my body, then I could, actually there are a variety of worksheets I could do. I could name that irritation and, you know, what do I want from the irritation? I want it to settle down and I want my tissue structure to feel good would be the goal.
Okay.
I could do a worksheet on me being irritated. You know, what's going on in me that my body's reflecting irritation? So I could be the subject 1C in the worksheet. And what do I want from myself? I want to be peaceful. I want my body to feel good. So there'd be a couple of different approaches that you could use.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start working with that because I'm not really having any people triggers. Every once in a while, there's a minor one that comes up. But it seems to be past stuff, or it seems to be maybe parental stuff that seems to be surfacing now, and I'm getting a little confused on how to actually process through some of that. But I will keep working at it.
Cool. And you know, on the issue of that, those words, you know, I love you and loving each other. You know, Jeannie and I still say I love you, and I'll say that to people, realizing that what I'm really meaning is that I choose to be love in your presence. We actually more and more are replacing the words I love you with I cherish you, recognizing that I can be love and cherish you. We're replacing that more and more. And, you know, how did it feel for you? Did it bring anything up for you when your mother shared with you her father's or your father's dying words that he didn't love her, which probably more meant, you know, you brought so much stuff up for me, dear, that I lost my ability to approve of you, and certainly would be something that would probably give anybody worksheets to do, especially after a lifetime together. That would probably be a difficult circumstance, and I would think as the child listening, it might bring some things up for me too.
Well, I had I actually got it third party. So it was, and it was, you know, 4 or 5 years after my mother had passed away. But I imagining how she must have felt to have him tell her that then has triggered, as you said, things that I can imagine what she must have been feeling all her life. And I think she probably knew deep down that might be the case, because he had been in love with someone else, but she wouldn't go to Africa with him. So, and my mother would. So I think that maybe she may have known that. In addition to the fact that her babies were taken away from her, one at age 3 and left here in the States because it was wartime, and then at age 6, we were all sent off to boarding school for 9 months a year. So I think there was a lot of loss, lack involved in there. I think that's probably what is now surfacing and what I'm in the, you know, processing through. So it's helpful for me to identify that this may be her stuff, or, you know, this is inherited stuff, and
right.
Not necessarily all mine. And so as I'm working through it, in an idea of saying, okay, I'm going to break that chain, that cycle, and I'm going
right.
to release from that as well as release myself from it. So that makes it a little easier to work with and to identify with. So I don't know if that's a solution or not, but
I think you're right on track, and, you know, it might be useful to do some worksheets to take a moment and get into a really quiet meditative state. Visualize your mom and breathe into her space and do worksheets as though you were her around these issues, knowing these things. You know, perhaps suspecting all her life that her husband didn't, you know, in the culture's language, love her. It also might be useful, you know, to think from your dad's point of view of what kind of pain and suffering did he go through, probably what kind of guilt living with the woman who it sounds like he accepted because he couldn't have the love of his life. You know, what kind of turmoil, what kind of pain, what kind of guilt would seem to come, and so breathing into his space and doing some worksheets from his perspective as well as worksheets from your perspective as a child, because though he may never have said a word, the energy, you know, just like that story of Christian the lion obviously didn't say to its mate, you know, don't eat my friends, but this wild lioness comes up and allows these men to pet her. Why? Because there's an energetic communication that makes it safe for this to happen. And so being a child and steeped in that energetic communication that is nonverbal would certainly have an impact and would certainly be, you know, powerful to let loose of and move through.
Yeah, I can, as I look back at their relationship, you know, and as you two had kind of given me some insight onto that, and looking at her as a power person and him as a power person, in each in a different way, it's been very interesting because I can now, in trying to see through their eyes or feeling through their feelings, realize how many times I've kind of repeated the same thing. And so it's a really good, really good healing process. So I'm starting
to. That's powerful. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. And you know, when you have that insight in mind and recognize how unconsciously you created out of that pattern your relationships decades later. That might be a good space with this whole idea in mind. That might be a good space to watch the DVD of On Creating Consciously or listen to the CDs of On Creating Consciously and just reviewing the whole creative process. And it will probably give the opportunity to strengthen your ability to create consciously, to consciously, purposely engage in the mind of love and bring from the mind of love how you choose to create your life, as well as give you the opportunity to look deeper into the parts of your mind that have unconsciously driven you and to live more and more and more in that inspired space rather than that driven space.
I think that's probably the case. I've also found that when I, you know, because when we're not using love as a verb or understanding that love is not a verb, love is a being, and not having that experience of knowing what that feels like, you know, it's like, as A Course in Miracles says, we build the brain cells of remembering that we are love and experiencing it, that I've used other words, substitute words like joy and you trigger joy, or you trigger, you know, peace, or such like that. And I found that when I'm doing my worksheet, that it says, you know, I'm willing to be peaceful, that if I write down, if I think of a time where I really felt peaceful and write it down, and then of a time that I was really happy, and then a time that actually triggered what I believe is as close to feeling love, within seeing myself as love. And that, I think, is progressively burning my brain cells because I'm finding myself throughout the day going back to those emotions at different times. So that's been a nice reward for that. So
it's, cool.
Anyway, those are my comments for today. So I thank you
all
very
right.
much. Hopefully,
we appreciate the work you're doing.
Yes. Hopefully it will...
Good breath.
Not hopefully. I know that it will ferment me. And I realize now that one of the things I have to do worksheets on, you and I talked about this, is I think that by the end of this year, I'm going to be propelled into a whole different arena of success. And
right.
I realize that thinking about what that entails, I get a little tightness in my stomach. So that is my next section of worksheets to begin working on a little bit at a time is the fear of success and how it might
Well, that probably, yeah, that probably, that tightness, that's probably the tissue in which the genetic memories are stored and have been activated previously of how we're not supposed to be successful, we're not supposed to be happy, we're supposed to be in this state of semi-misery or what have you. And so that's it sounds like your structure is warning you about where that energy is stored and where to put your focus as you're breathing and working. That's awesome. You know, there's
that
a tool
is.
In it when you think about the still point breathing process, a tool we oftentimes talk about is body breathing. And so if you imagine, if you, you know, allow yourself to go into doing some still point and then actually
okay.
imagine yourself breathing through that part of your body that holds that tightness or that pain and imagine
mm-hmm.
actually bringing your breath in through your stomach. And that can that focus can shift and bring the whole energy level up to another level.
I think that that's what I think that probably my initial question was, how do I can use that tightness in my stomach as the trigger and then do a worksheet around that?
Yes,
that would be
yes.
Okay.
And breathe through the actually, you know, as opposed to breathing through your mouth purposely, bring the focus and imagine that you're actually breathing through that part of your belly.
Okay. All right. I do that quite often. So that will be,
yeah.
I'll get back to doing that again. All right. Well, thank you very much. And,
all right. We appreciate you and bless you and hold the space for the best new year yet of your eternal life. We just join you in
thank
that.
You.
Outrageous success.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty. Last one. Bye-bye. 646-200-4169 is our number. And we've got about 20 minutes left, so we've got time for more conversation. And we would love to have a conversation with you. Our calling number is 646-200-4169, and we are absolutely here for your support and to assist in moving through the layers that we all have to move through. And, you know, there's an awesome principle expressed in the Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone. When you open a space, everybody gets a taste of that space, gets a taste of that shift in energy. And so each person who chooses to do their work is a gift to all of us. And we thank each and every one who selects and chooses to do that work. So, Jeannie, anything exciting for you to share?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to save my voice. You might want to share what
okay.
Bill Constantino sent, though, telling about their new support group.
Yeah, we got a really neat email from Bill. Bill is up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we spent a week there. Actually, it was really awesome to be at Bill's. He isn't by any chance on the show, is he, sweetie? Because I did invite him to call in.
I don't know if you're on there, Bill. Press 1.
In any event, we spent a week up there, and Bill and his wife just took such awesome, I mean, they spoiled us to the max. I mean, he made juice for us in the morning. They made lunch for us. They made dinner for us. You know, they wouldn't let us touch or do anything. It's like, no, you're our guest. We're going to take care of you this week. That was pretty sweet. It was pretty neat. And so he and Vi Winstrom started their support group there in Grand Rapids. And so he wrote to me, and here's what he says. Well, we are off to forget and forgiving. Vi and I had the inaugural session of our forgiveness study group today from 12:30 to 2:30 at the Unity Center in Ada, Michigan. 15 people showed up. That's awesome. There were 15 people participating. And he says the engagement and the level of questions was excellent. And something that Bill did, he was at our codependence intensive up in Michigan a few weeks ago, and he shared a set of drawings that he was doing, or a PowerPoint presenting the worksheet. And so he's sharing that he's done more development of that. And once the development is complete, we've been kind of, you know, we did a little bit of back and forth when we were up there. And so once the development is complete, we'll put it on the website and make it available and announce it, of course, on the radio show. But he said that he's done some animations along with it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this. And so we'll get a chance to see that hopefully within the next day or two. He had said that he had attached it, but for some reason the attachment didn't come through. So he's done several posters, and so he's really working. You know, he's a visual teacher, and so he's really doing some neat stuff that I think is going to be useful for all of us. And he's getting ready to put together a YouTube video on presenting the worksheet. So that's pretty cool. And he says everybody was genuinely excited and grateful to receive the information, and several asked if they could invite others to join the group. So that's pretty awesome. We thank you for that. And this Sunday, actually, there's going to be a support group start at 11:45 in Fort Walton Beach at Unity.
I think that was actually yesterday.
Oh, is it? Their first one was yesterday. That's right. So we'll have to check in and see what they have to say about how it went. And Sundays at 11:45, Unity of Fort Walton Beach is doing a support group right after they finish their morning service. The minister is gathering people and working with supporting the forgiveness process. So it's pretty exciting to watch where all the seeds are being sown. We're talking with someone about perhaps doing a support group in Bradenton. So hopefully that will come together as well. And you know, there's just more and more places that the work is being solidified and moving forward. So pretty awesome to have the opportunity to be moving things in that direction. So, and Jeannie has a thought for me. Oh. So 646. 200-4169. Dr. Tim, anything else to share from your end while we're hanging for someone to put a finger on the button and push one?
Well, just that I said earlier, I think as the show goes on into its fifth year, that the momentum is building and news that people like Bill are looking for ways to put PowerPoints and YouTube videos together for the worksheet process is just plain exciting. I've done some of my own videos on my website for little intros so people can understand what they would be getting if they came to see me as a psychologist, and I haven't done any of those in specifically related to this work, simply because I've been away for that for a few years now with the new website up and just letting it sit there, and been working with the Ruka group about building to try and take this kind of tool into the corporate environment. So it's exciting that other people are going to pick up the baton. And, you know, as you said, you've got this goal to have these tools in the hands of every mind, heart, and being on the planet, but you and Jeannie won't do it alone. You'll do it with planting the seeds and having them sprout, and people like Bill and Rex and
all the other people who run support groups down at Heartland and in Florida and all over the place in Nevada, it's exciting to realize that this momentum is building. And for me, the real excitement gets stirred in me because in each group where I'm there and somebody goes from a negative emotion or a painful emotional state to that awareness of their nature as love or that sense of calm and peace, and yet nothing outside of them changed. They
yeah.
simply did the worksheet process. That resonates the excitement in me. That is, in my mind, what this is all about. One person at a time, help people realize they can be the spigot for that loving energy coming into this world and expressing. They can be the spout of it. And they can notice whenever they start resonating in anger or fear or sadness and simply choose differently. And the more people get introduced to that concept and develop it into a habit of thought and undo the conditioning of our culture, which says you've got to run a rage number on that person, you have a right to punch them back if they punch you, it's understandable that you're in such grief and turmoil because this and that happened outside of you, that undoing that conditioning and giving people the option to simply tune into their true nature in each moment, that's what resonates excitement for me.
I just turned you back on, Michael. I could hear you
yeah.
opening that package.
Okay. Oh, you got a big dinner with me on that, Tim. It is just so so delightful and so amazing to watch it sprout. You know, it's I can't imagine doing anything more exciting, delightful, rewarding in my life as a way to get around the world and do the game than to teach forgiveness. It's just, you know, doesn't get better than this. And, of course, I love how Richard Bach says it, we teach best that which we most need to learn. And so, you know, here we are, we're learning it, piece by piece, bit by bit, strength to strength. Pretty awesome. So do we have anybody with a hand up, Jeannie? Anybody in the chat room with a thought for us that we could chew on a little bit and maybe expand on?
Or any ideas that people want to brainstorm about how to take it to the next level in their area or on the internet?
Great idea.
646-200-4169. We have 11 minutes. Press 1, and you are on the air.
Well, you know, one of the things that I see that inhibits people, and I've had people, when you explain the healing process to them, I've had people say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to go there. I know that old energy is in me, but do I actually want to go in there and experience that again and let go of it? And the thing is that it's kind of hard to get through to the mind that you are experiencing it every minute that you carry it around. It's just that it's being experienced unconsciously, and it's the sort of thing that creates degeneration and disease. So if there's, you know, let's just quantify. Let's imagine there's 10 units of degeneration and that energy is in tissue, then 24/7, 365, there's 10 units of degeneration pounding away at our cells our whole lives long. But because it's unconscious, we don't become aware of it until there's an ache or a pain or, you know, something's injured, and then we realize it's there. But otherwise, it's just quietly taking its toll. And if one steps into the space of willingness and empowerment and vitality, then that same 10 units of degeneration is going to look like 10 units of discomfort and symptoms as the energy is processed out. And so the processing of whatever is held there means that, yeah, it's going to get intense and I'm not going to like this. It isn't Dr. Feelgood, this healing process, the real healing process of feeling and dealing with what I've hidden from myself and perhaps my generations have hidden all of our lives, isn't Dr. Feelgood. But the thing is that when I go through the discomfort of the purification process, I'm finished with that. Rather than I do 10 units of degeneration today, I do another 10 tomorrow, and another 10 the next day, and another 10 the next day by holding on to it. And so, yeah, it can be really intense, you know, like ridiculously intense to go back through an old, intensely painful experience, especially if there was physical pain involved, but even if it was just emotional pain. But to recognize that that 10 units is there hammering away every day, and when I face it once, I embrace it in love and I move it out of my structure. Whatever I move out of my structure, though it was intense to go through it, it's no longer hammering away at my tissue structure. I'm freed of it. And to me, that's an awesome thing to recognize, and it helps me with my willingness, for sure, to move to a new space. And am I willing to embrace everything that's there in all of its intensity? Because on the way in, if there was a certain intensity to a disintegrative energy, on the way out, the intensity is going to be the same. You know, the symptoms don't speak of what direction the energy is moving. If the energy is moving in, then people are engaging in disease process, which our whole culture teaches us to do. If the energy is moving out, then we're stepping into healing process. And, you know, and just as a reminder, what does that look like on a physical level? The symptoms of healing look like any kind of physical symptom one has ever had, and low energy. On a mental level, looks like any kind of negative thought one has ever had, and confusion. And on an emotional level, looks like any kind of negative feeling one has ever had. That's what healing looks like if you're reversing the flow of the energy. And, of course, to reverse the flow of the energy, you've got to be willing to use the tools, and you do the things that take you to new levels of vitality. And as you get to those new levels of vitality, you get to throw off what never belonged. So the cosmic grease of willingness is such a big key in that whole process of healing. And the more we are willing, when we're in that purification process that can look and feel like a lot of pain, the more willing we are to soften. You know, that new word that was introduced on the last worksheet, soften and breathe, that we're willing to just really tap into the places where tension might be in the body. We're willing to breathe into it and let it soften and open, and willing to embrace whatever's there, and in the presence of love, move it out. Becomes a pretty awesome possibility to step in and willingly go through those symptoms so that we're freed of it, not carrying it around, having it pound away inside. So that's a really important part of the whole process. When I look at places where my energy has been off the mark, and of course in the ancient Aramaic, the word for energy that's off the mark is the word sin. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, there being something wrong with you. It's just, it speaks the qualities of energies that we're engaging in. And if we engage in something that doesn't belong, sin, then we store that in tissue. And as the ancients said, and, you know, this isn't a theological threat. They're just telling us how physiology works. The wages of sin is death. So if I engage in degenerative energy and I lock it in tissue, sooner or later that tissue is going to die as a result of it. And I do that to myself. I like using the acronym SIN, self-inflicted nonsense. We do it to ourselves, and it's been going on for generations in our bloodline. Reversing that process is it can be quite a challenge, can be quite a trick to do. And that's what we're here to support people in doing, is to step into the willingness to move that energy out. And if you think about how reliably people in our bloodline have died, for as long as we can trace back in our history. If, in fact, the truth is the wages of sin is death, the result of engaging in the disintegrative energy is your tissue structure starts to fall apart and you die, if you look at how reliably that happens, it gives us some kind of a measuring stick to understand just how much work there is to be done. And are we willing to step up to the plate and really, truly embrace that? You know, you hear the description of the physical symptoms of healing for Yeshua when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. What are we told happened? We're told he sweat blood. And that's the intensity of the purification process. It can be that intense. And so we're here to support, build vitality, and the higher the vitality level, the faster things move. And Jeannie tells me we've got a caller. Jeannie?
We do. And I said, I was talking to Lisa in peace in the chat room, and she's going through purifying too. And I said, yeah, I'm willing, but I'm also ready for this to be done.
I hear that.
Anyway, area code 810, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. This is Gail and Jeannie from Attica Lum.
Hey, young lady, welcome. We haven't heard your voice in a while. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You also. I fell, as Rex calls it, I had a real yogi knock December 17th, and I have had or whatever a concussion, and I fell really hard on the cement on the left side of my body. And
ouch.
I woke up this morning, and the doctors had said I had a CAT scan, and they didn't see anything when I had it. And I woke up this morning, and I had a lot of dizziness. And I guess I'm trying to assess. They said if you had any change, come right in and have another CAT scan. But I just feel like that's so much radiation. And I'm wondering, because I have gone through a lot of processes lately with my work. When I saw Rex on Saturday, I had like a new level of stuff come up. So I guess
right.
I'm trying to assess, is it partly because of that? And we had our grandson for 12 days, and for the first 8 days, he screamed every night, and it's like he finally relaxed, and the last 4 nights he was fine. And it appeared that he had been really programmed heavily against us before he came. And this happens quite often, but it seemed like it was a new level.
Right.
So
right.
Because he went back, well, I'm thinking, is it partly because I had fear come up? That was my worksheets last night. Yeah,
we're down to the wire. You know, the show cuts us off at the minute when it's complete, and we're down to less than 60 seconds. So just quickly, let me throw out a thought or two, and then if you could call in early in the show tomorrow, we could have some time to really support you moving through some process. Take a look at, was I at a new level of vitality? Falling on the left side, you know, a left side of the body injury usually is looked at conflict with the female. And so, you know, with this being with your grandson's mom, certainly would reflect reasonably, and to ask yourself the questions: have I been doing more of the right things? Had I hit a new level of vitality? What's happening with my elimination? And am I having cravings for things to suppress? If those things, if your answers are yes, then you can be pretty much assured that your symptoms are probably healing in process. And that's where you want to go. And unfortunately, we're out of time. So
okay.
Bring us straight to the show tomorrow.
I
call us
call
early.
Until later, because I have a doctor's appointment. But maybe on Tuesday or
okay.
Wednesday. Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.